Focus Insurance is one of the many new sponsors at Rosie on the House in our growing network of reliable service providers that you can trust and rely on. If insurance shopping is in your future, take a look at Focus Insurance, P-H-O-C-U-S, Focus Insurance. They wrote my first insurance policy in 1978, the year I married sweet Jennifer. She said, before we get married, I think you'd need a life insurance policy. She wasn't demanding a very high policy, thank goodness. I'm here broadcasting live at the Tucson Convention Center for the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. It's Rosie on the House here with insulation experts Scott Petrie, branch manager of the Phoenix and Tucson offices of Banker Insulation. Where else are y'all in Arizona? Y'all got about 7 or 8 offices in the state, don't you?
Yes, we do. We're in the Lake Havasu area, Prescott Valley, Flagstaff, Kingman, Cornville, which services the Sedona market.
Yeah, sure.
And we have a White Mountain Insulation up in the Snowflake area.
Okay. So, what's the story on Banker Insulation? How long y'all been around?
We were established in 1977, so about 35 years in business. Family-owned and operated, owned our corporate offices in Chandler. And I've been with the company for 29 years, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a great operation. We've always thought the world of Banker Insulation. Dennis, how long have you been doing this foam injection into the masonry homes?
It'll be 15 years this December.
15 years. Now, I've got a question for you. You inject this foam into block. Can we inject it anywhere else?
We can. Probably 90-plus percentage of our business is the block, the outside block walls.
Yeah.
But we do more and more. We do interior walls for soundproofing, for sound and deadening between bedrooms or bathrooms, and we do some garage walls the same way. And what's nice with our foam is we just make a couple of small 1-inch holes per stud cavity, and our foam doesn't expand, so we just fill the cavity and put a plug in it, and then generally the homeowner does the patching and
little
paint.
Drywall patching and paint.
Something.
Okay, let's go up into the attics, because they're really in the last 5 to 8 years, maybe a little longer than that, there's been an alternative way to insulate attics. Whereas traditionally, homeowners, I want y'all to paint a picture. You crawl up in the attic, and it's what you've seen forever. It's your grandparents' home, your parents' home, and probably your home. You stick your head up in the attic, and you see the sea of insulation laid down on top of the ceiling, burying the ceiling joist, and that's how we insulated attics forever. I'm going to call that the conventional. Is that...
That's correct.
Would that be a fair way?
And hopefully you're seeing a sea of insulation.
Yes.
Because you may only see a couple inches.
Or piles here and, holes there and everywhere else.
Right, in which case, it'd be nice to contact us.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, but we've gone to a different style of attic insulation called cathedral insulation. Scott, talk the homeowners through the difference, what we're trying to accomplish with that.
Well, back in the day when we just insulated ceilings and we didn't air seal very well and we had leaky ducts, we lost a lot of energy through those areas. So one of the ways to get around that is to insulate instead of at the ceiling, at the underside of the roof deck. So if you will, you're bringing your attic into your house. So now you have what's called a semi-conditioned attic space. You're not actually putting hot and cold air into that area with the ductwork. It's passively cooled and heated because you're not insulating on the drywall. So the best means for that, in my opinion, is spray foam insulation at the underside of the roof deck.
Yeah.
Because you seal the house up very, very tight. You bring the foam insulation down the gables and in connection with the exterior walls so that you have a nice, tight attic space.
You're not ventilating the space at all. You're actually completely shutting it off.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And that brings all your ductwork and any of those possibilities for leakage between your conditioned space and your attic through your ceiling, it eliminates all of that. So you have a much tighter house and you have control of the leaks, which typically they'll do through some venting that's added to your HVAC equipment. So you're controlling how much fresh air you're getting instead of counting on it just blowing out every hole that you've got in your house.
Midsummer attic temperatures in Phoenix and Tucson?
140, 160, yeah. It depends.
Yeah.
You know, Some attics have more ventilation than others. I've been in attics that were just brutal even in March.
And I think that's the one reason that some of these advertisers do so well is they know how hot their attic is, so they just come to the intuitive conclusion, well, if I just throw a whole lot more insulation up there, I have to be saving money, surely.
Right, but of course you get points of diminishing return where you can overdo anything. There's no question about that.
Absolutely. Now, once we've got this cathedralized style insulation where the foam is on the underside of the roof deck, how much insulation are you putting on that roof deck?
It depends. It can depend on codes. Municipalities all have their own adoption of the codes. But typically 5.5 inches of spray foam does a good job. I have clients that go as much as 8 to 12.
I think
12 is a bit of an overkill, but it's not always more is better, but minimum 5.5.
And at that point, when I stick my head up in that attic, I'm not going to see any fiberglass or blown insulation. I'm going to see the backside of the sheetrock on the ceiling of the house.
That's correct. And you're not really going to want to insulate that ceiling unless you're trying to isolate some rooms for sound traveling through that ceiling. You don't want to create a barrier between that semi-conditioned space and the conditioned space, or you're just making a big hot box in your attic.
Yeah, you want it to kind of create a little, you're almost trying to create a small little soft thermal bridge, aren't you, to try and stabilize everything?
Yes.
Yeah. Seems like an awful good place. At that point, your attic's probably going to be staying a lot cleaner than it ever did in the old conventional way. Seems like to me a great opportunity for storage.
Which most houses aren't designed for that. They don't design trusses to support that kind of weight.
Yeah.
So we don't recommend that you turn that into a storeroom unless the house is built that way.
It really detracts from the insulation value of the attic, and it could create some fire hazards and stuff.
That is correct. In fact, if you install spray foam, there is an ignition barrier that needs to coat most of the foams, or there's some other code compliance methods so that you're not creating a fire hazard up in your attic.
Okay. Now, you two guys are insulation experts. Scott, you're building a home from scratch. Hypothetically, you're building a brand new home from scratch. How is that home insulated, and to what values and what materials? What's the perfect insulation package?
For me, if it's a frame home, we'll assume, I'm going to spray the exterior walls probably with cellulose. There are some fiberglass spray products that work well, but I believe spraying wall insulation is the best way to go.
Okay.
And then foam at the underside of the roof deck and at the gables. 5.5 to 8 inches of foam for me.
Yep.
And then filling the wall cavities on the exterior walls with a cellulose product, which is a recycled newspaper treated with
very green product.
Yes, extremely green. It works very well.
It works great. It's one of the highest acoustic insulating products there are on the market. So not only are you getting a thermal insulation, but you're getting a very quiet.
Absolutely. And, you know, the spray foam insulation at the underside of the roof also eliminates those vents, which eliminates the dust from coming in, which eliminates the noise from coming in, which typically will migrate into your house. If you back up to a freeway, it's awesome to just seal everything up. Again, you need to go to the cities and get the correct permits that are required and use a good contractor like ourselves to make sure that you're in compliance when you do this.
And that's
going to change.
And that's Banker Insulation. And do you have one number people could call in wherever they're living? Because you're talking to the whole state right now. How would you want folks to get a hold of Banker?
You know, you can always call our corporate office at 602-273-1261. Or you can go to our website at www.bankerinsulation.com and find the specific links for the branch managers for each one of the locations we have, or the phone number.
Okay. And y'all come out and do free estimates.
Absolutely.
And you do an assessment of what they've got before you can really make a recommendation of what they need.
Correct.
Okay. And one more, I want to go back onto your perfect insulated house. You were talking about spray cellulose in the wall cavities. That's a wet spray cellulose?
Yes, it's mixed with less than 25% moisture when it goes into the wall to pack it in place. If it's installed correctly, it will stay in place forever.
Forever. I mean, we've remodeled homes in the 70s or 80s. We did wet spray insulation. We've gone back and remodeled those same homes. And, I mean, there isn't a fraction of an inch of settlement in top.
That's correct. I've seen the same thing.
I love that wet spray cellulose. That is a great product. Like you say, it's recycled newspapers treated for bugs and flame retardants. and it's just a great product.
Yes, it does a really good job with air sealing and sound as well.
Okay, we're going to take a little break right here and get off of the topic and go into what we call the staycation, and then when we get back, Dennis, I want you to talk about what your perfect home insulation is, okay?
Okay.
All right, folks, you can go to rosieonthehouse.com right on the home page and register to win an Arizona staycation. It's brought to you by Sanderson Ford and the Arizona Office of Tourism, along with our friends at Arizona Highways. You register to win. We'll pick a winner every month, and you get to pick where in Arizona you want to go. And I'll tell you, we've just aligned ourselves with a bed and breakfast outside of the Flagstaff area near Mountain Air called Avenue Lodge, like the French explorer that kind of explored a lot of northern Arizona, Avenue. I've stayed there. If you're not a fan of bed and breakfasts because you don't like the privacy you have to compromise, I'm not a big bed and breakfast fan myself, but I'll tell you what, this lodge is built like a true lodge. Private bathrooms, big bedrooms, you're isolated from the other activity of the other guests. You have all the advantages of the intimacy of a bed and breakfast with all the privacy. It's a great, great location. Avenue Lodge, Mountain Air in Flagstaff. We appreciate their participation in the program called the Arizona Staycation, brought to you by Rosie on the House, Sanderson Ford, Office, Arizona Office of Tourism, and the Arizona Highways. It's the only place you can win an Arizona staycation. We take care of everything. You tell us where you want to go. We take care of the rest. We're going to take a short break and be back and wrap up an hour on insulation here at Rosie on the House.